Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. I told you this morning that we were going through Matthew, Jesus, our sovereign king. And for the next two Sunday nights, we're going to look at the spiritually blind. And tonight we're going to look at the title of the message is The Blind Who Refuse to See. And next week we'll talk about the blind who do see. But tonight we want to talk about the spiritually blind who refuse to see. And it's all around us. There are a lot of people that think they're going to heaven, but they've been spiritually blinded. They think that religion can get them to heaven. They just think because they come to church, they're going to go to heaven. They just think because they were baptized when they were 5 years old, they're going to heaven. But they've been sadly deceived. So let's look at our text tonight, beginning in chapter 16, verse 1 and 4. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting Jesus, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red lowering, it's gloomy. And ye hypocrites, who can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Then it says, and he left them and departed. Father, I pray that you open our eyes to understand why some people reject the gospel. I pray you open our eyes to the fact that to help us understand. We have family and we have friends and we just don't understand. But Lord, it's all right here. Why the spiritually blind refuse to see? So speak to us tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, since the fall of man, since Eve took the apple, Adam standing by watching her, and then because he didn't want to be alone in the garden, a lot of theologians believe he ate also of the fruit. Did I say apple? It's not an apple. The Bible doesn't say it's an apple. But I'd rather it be a banana. But anyway, he took of the fruit. They were both began to die physically. They both died instantly, spiritually, separated from God. And their sin natures are transmitted to us through Adam, the first Adam, the federal head of man, who Christ later came as the last Adam. The Bible teaches that those who reject the Savior remain forever blind, spiritually blinded. And the Bible teaches that the person who confesses him as Lord is given spiritual sight as well as spiritual life. Now, I asked the question this morning, tonight, what causes spiritual blindness? By the way, we were all born spiritually blind, okay? Right? Y'all agree with that statement? It's not like Tony Evans says that we became condemned when we reject Christ. We are born spiritually blind. Now, what causes spiritual blindness? Well, the first is sin. The sin that's been given and transmitted to us by our federal head, Adam. Men love sin and darkness rather than light. That's what Ephesians says. That's why people don't come to the light. They love self and they love their sin. That's why they don't come. The second reason for spiritual blindness is Satan himself. The Bible teaches us that Satan blinds the minds of the lost that they may not see the light of the gospel. So they're spiritually blinded also, not only by their nature, but also by Satan himself. And then we also have a concept in the scripture that God's sovereign judgment. The Bible teaches when man willfully rejects God's light, they are in danger of what's called judicial judgment by God. God seals them in their unbelief and in their self-chosen darkness. So they remain lost forever because they have rejected God, and God rejects them. So such is the case with these Pharisees and these Sadducees. Our text records Jesus' final invitation to these religious leaders. And he's fixing to turn from them and just mainly minister to his disciples. Sadly, they were among those who are spiritually blind and refuse to see. That's what the problem was. They were not seeking truth. They were not seeking truth at all. They were willfully, spiritually blind, and they refused to see. So tonight I want to share four characteristics of the spiritually blind. They're in our text. Verse 1, they love spiritual darkness. They hate the light, and they love spiritual darkness. Look in verse 1 again. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. The Pharisees and Sadducees hated each other. But it's amazing how enemies can have a common enemy where they can come together because they don't like a certain event or person. And even though both of them hated each other, they came together because they hated Jesus even more, right? And Jesus and the love for spiritual Jesus and the love of spiritual darkness caused them to be spiritually blind, and they wanted to remain spiritually blind. Quickly, let me share you a difference between the scribes and the Pharisees, and you probably know these facts, but the Sadducees operated the temple concession and the money changers, right? They were the liberals of the day. The Pharisees were the conservatives or the legalism of the day. The Sadducees did not believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. And I hate to tell you this again, but because they did not believe in the resurrection, that's why they were sad, you see, right? All right. Then the Pharisees, they were kind of a working class. They didn't minister in the temple. They were had jobs outside the temple. And they were more conservative and fundamental when you look at the Sadducees, and they were the legalists. Paul himself was a Pharisee. But let me show you a little Bible study right here. Look at the definite article in verse 16. By the definite article, this suggests that the Pharisees were the main group, which Paul was a Pharisee. Look at it. The definite article, Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came together and tempting Jesus, not seeking truth, but they wanted to, what's the word I'm looking for? They wanted to find some fault in him, okay? But they were blind guides. Jesus calls them blind guides. And somewhere else in Scripture here, you had the blind leading the blind, right? And that's what we have in our government today. You got the blind leading the blind. Why? So they can only operate in their blindness and in their darkness. They can't do anything good because they're blind. Spiritually blind. This is the way of the willfully blind. They trust in themselves. They trust in their own works. They are enemies of grace. So the love for spiritual darkness is the first characteristic of the spiritually blind. Second characteristic is they curse the light. Not only are they satisfied to be spiritually blind, they curse the light. Look in the latter part of verse 1, 2, and 3. And they tempted, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it was evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. And you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? They cursed the light. They were content to live in darkness. And there are many people, multitudes of people today are content to live in darkness. They think they got it made. Two-car garage, a beach house in Key West, a mountain house in the mountains, a big retirement package. They think they got it made, right? But they don't have it. I'm reminded about why they don't like the light. Why? Because the light penetrates darkness and exposes their sin. If the preacher gets to talking about in a confrontational way about the Word of God, then there's many people, some people are going to leave the church. Not everybody can endure sound doctrine, right? And they leave. People don't like their sin exposed, right? And I found out going through a book, I can't be accused of attacking anybody because it's the next passage I'm preaching on, right? But it exposes their sin, and they can't take that. Now, Jesus said this in John 3, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world. Of course, he's the light. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So you can't argue with that Jesus said that, right? Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light. You know, I think about a criminal or somebody that breaks into your house, you know. When the lights come on, they don't like that, do they? Right? But that's the same way it is with the spiritually blind. They hate dark, they hate light. And Jesus says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. And then he said in verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that is, his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We see in verse 1, with this background, they approach Jesus. They come to tempt Jesus, to fool him, to expose him for falsehood, if you will. They were not looking for truth. And I see that a lot in my ministry. People ask me questions. They're not looking for truth. They're looking to try to stumble me up, you know, and to argue scripture with me. And I'm not going to argue scripture with anybody, because that shows that they are not being, God is not working in their heart, and they're not going to believe me anyway, right? But if they're looking for truth, then I can share that with them. And so they wanted to come expose Jesus. They wanted Jesus to show them a sign. Now, he had shown them many signs already in our Matthew, right? All the miracles and the healings that he did and his teachings. He fulfilled everything that the Old Testament said that the Messiah would do when he came, right? But yet they rejected it all. They wanted, by the language here, they wanted a sign in heaven. Jesus had shown them all these signs, and they said, well, if you show us one more, we will believe. And that's a lie. They wouldn't, because their heart was not right. They wanted a sign in heaven. They were blinded to the fact that Jesus himself was the sign from heaven, right? And they rejected him. It's interesting that it is second coming, not the rapture. His second coming in Matthew 24, it says, and we saw the sign of Jesus or God in the heaven, and that is his coming, right? Now, they were blinded to the fact that Jesus himself was a sign from heaven, and if a person's heart is set on darkness, Jesus knew this, if their heart is set on darkness, when the light comes, they curse it, right? So they continue to harden their heart. Verse 2 and 3 tells us that Jesus, knowing their heart and their intent, Jesus answered them. Now, let me paraphrase this. If y'all look at verse 2 and 3, y'all know where we get that saying, right, that we often use. Red sky at night, sailors delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors warning, right? This is what he's talking about here, right? And so that's still true today, right? And Jesus told them they could predict the weather, but they could not discern the signs of the times. You know, I think about meteorologists and weathermen. You know, all they can do is try to tell us what they think the weather is going to do, but God controls it, doesn't he, right? And they may be able to get up there and run their little lines and all this, and this is coming, this front, and this what, you know. And I mean, you didn't want an algebra class. You wanted the weather, right? And but Jesus is saying here that you can tell the weather, but you don't know the signs of the time. And folks, we see this everywhere, don't we? Even people in the church don't know the signs of the times. There's some people in the church that think it's going to get better and better, right? And that's not what the scripture teaches, right? He said, you don't know the signs of the times. And what Jesus in particular was talking about here, the Messiah has come, redemption by God's own Son. This is the beginning of the Messianic age, if you receive me. But they were no better than the weathermen and some of the Bible scholars today. Many today have great insight about the things of the world, but no understanding of the things of God, right? And many in the church are the same way. They can tell you all about this. They can tell you all about that. They can, you know, but they don't know enough about the Bible to discern what's happening and how it's coming down. Of course, Matthew 24 is a great text on that. I don't know if any of you have been listening or buying the book by David Jeremiah, Where Do We Go From Here? Have any of y'all been listening to those messages? Y'all listen to David Jeremiah, right? Okay, and the books, and you can buy the book, Where Do We Go From Here? But he's laying it out there very plainly, the signs of the times, the push to globalism. I firmly believe everything's in place. All we need to do is be raptured out of here, and the Antichrist can take his seat in the control center, and everything that Matthew 24 talks about is going to happen, right? The push toward global. Don't you see how when the church is taken out and the influence of the Holy Spirit in the church is taken out, the restrainer, can't you see? Like overnight, they'll have globalism. Overnight, we'll have a one-world government, right? One world religion, the one world currency, social chaos, socialism, and Marxism. He brings out that those are all signs of the times, right? So, in fact, in Matthew 24, remember when we went through verse 3 for 14, six signs of the second coming, not the rapture. The rapture could take place at any moment. But because we see these signs in Matthew 24 stretching their shadows into the church age, we know that the rapture is near. And they're casting their shadows in the church. So love for spiritual darkness is the first characteristic of the spiritually blind. Second characteristic is they curse the light. And thirdly, the spiritually blind never see they're regressing deeper and deeper in darkness. That's our third point. Verse 4. Notice what he says. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. He left them and departed. The world is not going to get any better. I hate to tell you that. It's going to get worse. The Bible teaches us that. Jesus taught us that, right? Man's not going to bring in a utopia. Christ is going to take us out of here, 7 years of tribulation. Then he comes at his second coming and sets up his one world millennial kingdom. Amen? And he's the one who's going to make it better when he comes. But he says here that the third sign of spiritual blindness is they regress deeper into sin. They become more and more hardened in their heart, blind in darkness. Because their rejection of the many signs, there would be only one left, and that is the sign of Jonah. That is the sign of the resurrection. And what did they do? They tried to get the soldiers to lie about the fact that his disciples came and stole his body. Jesus knew how they would respond, right? I can show you the greatest sign ever given, the resurrection of Jesus, but you're not going to believe it, right? Because your hearts are hardened in spiritual blindness. His victory over sin, death, Satan, by the resurrection from the dead, and they rejected it. That's what Luke 16 talks about. The rich man in Hades said, send somebody to my brothers, I think it was five brothers, and said, witness to them that they may not have to come to this terrible place, right? And he says, nay. He says, if we send one from the grave, they're not going to believe, right? And he was talking about Jesus, right? But they won't believe the resurrection. You know, if somebody rose from the grave, that's the one they ought to be following, right? And the world's in spiritual blindness. They don't want to do any better. They want to remain in their darkness here. So they rejected that as well. And then lastly, and fourthly, spiritual blindness can be characterized by they are abandoned by God. Look at some very sobering words in the latter part of verse 4. It says, he left them and departed. He left them in their sin. See, this is deeper than what it reads. He left them in their sin. He gave them over to their sin, Romans chapter 1, 18 through 32. The word left and departed here means forsake and abandon. So now he officially turns from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and totally begins teaching his disciples, right? He left them, forsake them, and abandoned them. So here Jesus is in a transition in his ministry. He's about to spend more time with his hard-headed disciples, right? Do y'all see that? What a sad commentary. This is, you could write Romans 1, 18 through 32, and God gave them over three times in Romans chapter 1 right here. So the blind who refused to see, we see a classic example of that. But next Sunday night, we're going to look at the opposite of that. All these points here are going to turn around, making the opposite of the blind who see, right? They respond to the light. They respond to truth. They're totally opposite of those who refuse to see. So maybe this has helped you understand your loved ones and your friends that are spiritually blind. You know, their eyes cannot be opened unless Christ opens their eyes, right? It takes the working of the Holy Spirit, right? Like it did in Peter's life. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what did Jesus say? "Blessed are thy son Barjonia, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And nobody can know who Jesus is unless it's revealed to them, right? But we preach the word and we teach the word and we call people to believe, and the Holy Spirit uses that to bring them to spiritual light. Aren't you glad tonight that you're part of the spiritual, those that are not spiritual blind, right? You understand more than Obama ever understand. Yes, I'm talking about you. You'll understand more than any politician understand. You know what's happening. By the way, another sign of the times is immigration problem, right? All of them are coming together here. And we know where we're going. We know how we're getting there. And so we know we're getting closer. And it's not time to fold up the tent. It's time to rejoice at what Christ is about to do to his church, right? I believe he can come at any moment. I believe at any moment before we finish this sermon here, Brother Floyd, you might not make it home, right? And that'll be all right, Ronnie. And you'll be getting up out of that wheelchair, right? I mean, at any moment, he's going to come and take us home. So we invite you tonight. If you don't know Christ, there's no reason in the world to stay in your spiritual blindness, right? Spiritual blindness sends you to hell. Spiritual light sends you to heaven. Amen? So the choice is plain as our musicians come tonight. The choice is plain tonight. I'm going to ask you to respond. You believe the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And believing in the atoning work of Christ is the only thing that's going to get you to heaven. It's the only thing that's going to open your eyes tonight. So, Father, we pray that you save those that are seeking, those that are looking tonight. For those that have hardened their heart, Lord, we can't do much about them. We can't do nothing about them. Their fate is sealed. And so, Father, I do pray for their families and their friends that may come to Christ before it's everlasting late. I pray, Father, for gospel preachers that when we do funerals, we'll give the gospel, a very clear presentation of the gospel, and quit playing around. And even at a wedding, we can give the gospel. Whatever it might be, Father, it's time for the church to understand that people who reject Christ go to hell, people who receive him go to heaven. And we need to know that. So have your own will in this service tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.